Matthew 18, I just want to bring a message on child conversion and the age of accountability, a little Bible study, and then we'll do a little work afterwards if you can stay, get ready where we can. But this is a big week. Missions Conference is a big week, and that's about all the big weeks left this year. So I hope we'll all be on the same page and especially have a biblical basis for what we're doing, what we believe, why we believe it. As we have Bible school coming up, Matthew 18, we're going to read verse 3 and verse 14. Verse 3 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." And then verse 14, "Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." And so I want to address these two verses as we talk about child conversion and the age of accountability. There must be an age of accountability for children. Otherwise, the Lord would not give us such a stern warning in verse 14 about little children perishing. "Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." And so it is possible for a child to come to a certain age where they have to be saved, and if they die without Christ, they will perish. And so we'll discuss that for a little bit tonight before we close. But as I mentioned, we are casting a net in the water. There's always two ways to go fishing that I know of. Sometimes you use a net, sometimes you use a fishing pole. Fishing pole, we're just one-on-one getting fish, and then a net is where you have a big net thrown out and it catches a bunch of fish, hopefully. And that's what programs like Vacation Bible Schools and revival meetings and things like that are, where we cast a net out and hope a whole bunch will come into the net and be rescued and be saved. And there are many adversaries. There's many distractions. Like never before, children are distracted. They are so entertained. They're entertained to death. We can't possibly compete with the entertainment that they receive from the world. So we need to pray for the victory. We just need to pray and pray and pray that God will do miracles greater than all of that. And we're not the first ones to face adversaries when a great door and effectual is open unto us. But I just want to make two points tonight about children, a little bit of doctrine tonight. Number one, children can be converted. Number one, children can be converted. In fact, not only can they be, but Jesus said to the rest of the people in verse 3, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." And so in order to be saved, you've got to become a little child. That is in the sense of faith. Like a little child has faith in what they are told. And because their faith is so pure, it is possible for them to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and genuinely be saved at a very early age in their lives. Their minds have not been contaminated yet by education and philosophy and evolution and Hollywood and all these delusions, video games and cartoons and everything, where they can't seem to sort out anything in their minds eventually. And when they're presented with the gospel of Jesus Christ, they can be converted. One of the elements in conversion is the understanding with the heart. If you look back at chapter 13, Matthew 13, and this is where we begin to see what has sometimes been called the age of accountability. The age of accountability. I want you to notice in Matthew 13 and verse 15, it says, "For the people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed." Now this is like when they get adults, like I was just talking about. "Lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with the heart and should be converted." and I should heal them. But I want you to notice a little phrase here, understand with the heart and should be converted. I believe this kind of sets up a teaching that we know of as the age of accountability, that in order for a person to be converted, they have to understand with the heart. This verse is repeated in three other places in the Bible, almost word for word. Isaiah 6 and verse 10, John chapter 12 and verse 40, and Acts chapter number 28 and verse 27. All four of those verses contain the phrase, understand with the heart and be converted. Understand with the heart and be converted. Obviously, a one-year-old cannot understand with the heart and be converted. Or a two-year-old or a three-year-old can't understand with the heart and be converted. You and I have no clue when understanding with the heart begins. But at that time is when a child needs to be converted to Christ, when they can understand with the heart. Now, we're not talking about being saved by works. We're just saying that that's part of the soil upon which the seed of the Word of God can take root, and that is when a person has an understanding heart and can understand the gospel. So I suppose that there are times when these things are entirely in God's hand. His domain is judgment, ours isn't. I suppose there are children that never have that time in their life where they come to that stage because they may have been born with birth defects or some kind of a mental a problem, or some, of course, are stillborn and some have been aborted. And we that believe the Bible believe that life begins at conception. We believe that it begins at fertilization, is an even better word. I like that because people argue about what conception means. And there are some verses in the Scripture that tell us that there's a season in a child's development where they do not understand with the heart. For instance, in Deuteronomy 1 and verse number 39, it says, "Moreover, your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, and your children, which in that day had no knowledge between good and evil, they shall go in thither. And unto them will I give it, and they shall possess it." Notice there's a phrase where God is describing children in that day had no knowledge between good and evil. And God knows everything. And so these children had been born to the Israelites who had been wandering in the wilderness. And they are called in this verse little ones. And they have no knowledge between good and evil. And evil. And so they can't understand with the heart. They have no knowledge between good and evil. Isaiah 7 and verse 16 says this, "For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of both her kings." Notice again a little phrase in there from God about the nature of children growing up. There is a time when a children that is before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good. And so we see there's a stage where they don't know the difference between good and evil, another stage where they don't know whether they can choose good or refuse the evil. And then in Romans chapter number 9 and verse 11 has a little phrase in it that says this, "For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil." And so in the womb, they've neither done good nor evil. And then they're born, they're little ones, and they don't know the difference between good and evil. And there's also a stage where they have no clue on how to refuse the evil and choose the good. And so the development of a child is that there's obviously a stage in the womb and outside of the womb before they can understand with the heart and be converted. And verses like this and others is what has brought us to coin the phrase, the age of accountability. the age of accountability. There's a lot of phrases we use that aren't biblical, like the rapture, that's not in the Bible, or the Trinity is not in the Bible, or the Bible is not in the Bible. But these are phrases that are based on Scripture. And we see that based on Scripture, here there is a stage where a child cannot understand with the heart. And then as you go into another teaching in the Scriptures called the Book of Life, the Book of Life, and that's a big study. I'm just going to touch on a few things. I believe in the Book of Life, as you study every verse of Scripture on the Book of Life, I believe every person's name is put in the Book of Life upon conception and is not blotted out till later. And so, that would establish the fact that children or babies, infants, those prior to understanding with the heart, are safe in the arms of Jesus, and their names are written in the Book of Life from conception. And then later on, for instance, I'll mention here in a moment how. In fact, I'm going to read to you in chapter 32 and verse 32 and 33. Moses said this when there was the great rebellion there out in the wilderness. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, "Oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of my book which thou hast written." And here's the Lord's answer. "And the Lord said unto Moses, Whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book." And so the Lord says clearly to Moses, "I'm not going to blot your name out." You know, Moses was like Paul in the New Testament. He said, you know, if I could possibly be a curse so Israel could be saved, but that's not possible. Once you're saved forever. David said this about his enemies. David said this about his enemies in Psalm 69 and verse 28. "Let them be blotted out of the book of the living and not be written with the righteous." And so David somehow came to the belief that his enemies' names were in the book of the living and were not blotted out yet. When are they blotted out? What did Moses say? When they sin. "He that sinneth against me, him will I blot out of my book." And so it seems as you compare these, and there's a lot of other scriptures, but for time's sake, we won't look at all of them tonight. But do a study on the Book of Life. It's very important. Do a study on the Book of Life, and I really believe you'll come to that conclusion that every single person's name starts in that book. But then as they refuse the good and choose the evil and sin, their names are blotted out. And especially having not received Christ as their Savior. So that must mean, if that is true, that must mean then that children are safe from conception and safe in birth until they knowingly choose to sin and refuse the good. And thus, there is absolutely no need for baby baptism. Baby baptism is a false doctrine that was introduced by the Roman Catholic Church for the intent to, quote, wash away original sin. Well, we can see what the Bible says about that. Now, we've already seen verses where their names are in the Book of Life, and then as they sin later, they have their names blotted out, and especially if they do not receive Christ as their Savior. Revelation 3:5 says, "He that overcometh The same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. So we see the Lord Jesus says, if a person is an overcomer, their name won't be blotted out. Now in 1 John 5 and verse 1, it says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him that is begotten of him. Verse 5, who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. So who's the overcomer? The person that believes that Jesus is the Son of God. What did Revelation 3:5 says? He that overcometh. Who's that? The one that believes that Jesus is the Son of God. The same shall be clothed in white raiment. That's a picture of the robes of Christ's righteousness. And I will not blot his name out of the book of life. So let's say a person's name is written in the book of life and they sin, but then they believe on Christ. They become what's called an overcomer. Their names will not be blotted out of the book of life. And there are some times in Scripture where they spoke of this with great assurance. It was not something they had to wait to find out at the judgment. For example, Jesus said to his returning men, I think he sent out 70 men. Yes, he did, Luke 10:1. He sent out 70 men two by two, and they did all kinds of miracles. It was amazing. And they came back rejoicing that even the devils were subject to them. And Jesus said this to them in Luke 10, verse 20, notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Already done. Done deal. Transaction's done. Jesus said, you're saved. What you ought to rejoice in is that your names are written in heaven. Paul also talked about the assurance of salvation and speaking about the book of life. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 3, he said, I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Done deal. They were still alive. He said, greet them. And I think the Lord put that in there by the Holy Ghost just so it would give us great assurance. That those who were believers, those who were Paul's co-laborers, those women who helped him serve in the gospel, whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. So I believe the day you were conceived, God knew what your name was going to be, put his name in the book of life. You were safe when you were born, and as you were growing, and you couldn't refuse the evil and choose the good, and you didn't know the difference between good and evil, you were safe. So if some kid dies when they're one or two or three, they're safe. And only God knows the age of every individual. It's probably different from everybody who can, as it says four times in Scripture, understand with the heart and be converted. Those that are in heaven are described this way in Hebrews chapter number 12 and verse 23, speaking about heaven. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and the spirits of just men made perfect. And this is talking about seven wonderful promises here in this text to those that know Christ as their Savior, including whose names are written in heaven. So I believe everybody's name is in the book of life, and there's more verses in the Scripture than these. Upon conception, everybody's safe, even though they're sinners by nature. We know we come out of the womb as sinners by nature. But we're not sinners by choice. But there comes that day when we understand the difference between good and evil, and because of our nature, we always choose the evil. We always sin. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And at that moment on, we need to be saved. And our names, I think, remain in the book of life. But if we die without Christ, if we're not overcomers, the name's blotted out. And then, of course, the most morbid of all the texts on the book of life in the last book, Revelation chapter number 20. And verse 12, and I saw the dead, not the living, the dead, stand small and great, small, of little stature, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, that's the Bible, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead, not the living, but the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to his works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And so their names have been blotted out. They summoned somebody to look it up and look for their names. Nope, it's not here. Because sometime since their conception, they had sinned and had not received Christ as their Savior. The names are blotted out. And nobody makes it on that day. Everyone's lost. Now, that's how I believe the book of life works. It's a study that you can do on your own. I want to encourage you to always do that, to know what you believe and why you believe it. But as a result of that, we should know that answer, because there are going to be people that come up to you with this question: does your church baptize babies? And if you know what you believe and why you believe it, you can explain this to them and then turn the conversation around, as I have on a couple times in my life, and led people to the Lord and say, no, that the fact is you're the one that needs to be concerned about being saved and then being baptized. And it has given me an opportunity a few times, but we need to know what we believe, why we believe it. I didn't really go into it that much in depth here, but that's what we believe, and little babies are safe, and these parents don't have to fear and then go off and do something that really gives them a false assurance, a false hope. Oh, my baby's been baptized. Well, is your baby a sinner? Have they sinned? Have they grown to the age where they can choose between good and evil? Have they received Christ as their Savior? That's where that false assurance from Satan comes in. Well, they were baptized when they were babies. And that is satanic. That's a satanic doctrine. It's what's called in the Bible the doctrine of devils. It's not gospel. So the point is, as we approach Vacation Bible School or any kind of children's ministries, there does come an age, though. There does come an age. And because of the sinful nature of all children, including you and me when we were children, we sinned. We chose evil. Not only did we sin and chose evil, we had a lot of fun doing it. And it was done in a lot of rebellion against God, a lot of pride. And that's when we become condemned and we need a Savior. And so that's why Jesus in our text talks about child conversion. Because children can be converted. Now, I don't understand children's hearts. I'm very careful with children. But I have heard of some cases, not many at all, where children as young as 4 years of age, 5, 6, 7 sometimes years of age, have really understood the gospel, and with that childlike faith really believe, not just said a prayer, but really believe, hey, Christ did that for me. Christ died on the cross for me. And it's possible at that young of an age for them to have an understanding heart and be converted. Very rare, but it's possible. But we've always shared with you the old statistic from Ab Thomas, and I don't know if it's always accurate, but But he believed that 85% of all that ever get saved do so before their 14th birthday. I don't know if that's true. He says between 4 and 14, he says that's 85% of those that are born-again Christians, when they give testimony, say that I was in that age range when I got saved. I know my wife was 11, I was 12. Some of you would probably agree with that. Some of you had the privilege of hearing the gospel later, but it just seems harder. When they get in their 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s and 60s, they get set in their ways and they get all this philosophy and think they know all these answers and pride. And it does seem harder to see people saved. And if you ever go to the fair, most of the converts are teenagers, and there's some adults. We can't really talk to children unless their parents come in. We absolutely can't. We can't let them come in, or we'll get tossed out. But that's usually at the fairs. Those of you that have gone to the fairs, some of you have been there a lot more than I've been there. But that's usually the range. Teenagers, they'll come in, and they will receive the gospel. They'll still be open hearted. They'll still have that heart of a child, that they can be converted. And so, as we approach Vacation Bible School, tonight's message is two points. Number one, children can be converted, verse 3, and then children can perish, verse 14. Children can perish. It's possible for a child to die at a young age and having not received Christ as their Savior, perish. That's the very word Jesus himself used. It's not God's will. Verse 14 tells us God's will. Isn't that precious? I don't know how Calvinists struggle. I don't know how they explain this one away. But verse 14, Jesus said, "Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." And so there's the potential that they can perish, but it's not God's will. It's not God's will. So we must be careful that we are very clear with the gospel at Vacation Bible School and in Sunday school and in children's church and on the bus routes and the backyard Bible clubs and everything. And I know we don't want them to chant a prayer. That happens sometimes. And I don't know how to avoid that, but... That's not salvation. It's all one group chanting a prayer. but one-on-one is the best. But it's still children can be saved, and it's not complex to be saved. That's what Jesus is saying. Sadly, the very first time the word faith ever appears in the Bible. First time ever. The Bible is one of the main themes of the Bible is faith. Would you agree with that? And yet the first time ever the word faith appears in the Bible, it says this in Deuteronomy 32 and verse 20. And he said, "I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be, for they are a very froward generation, children in whom is no faith." First time the word faith ever appears in the Bible. It talks about children in whom is no faith. Man, that's almost like this generation. Boy, they have not had the seeds of the Word of God sown in their hearts that bring faith. But praise the Lord for the promise of God. And I'll close with this, where he says in Deuteronomy 31, and by the way, you got to have faith to be saved, right? Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, "For by grace are ye saved through faith." For by grace are ye saved through faith. Not of yourselves, the gift of God, not of works. Got to have faith. But here's our promise for those that are going to come in next week who've never been to church before. Deuteronomy 31, 12. Gather the people together, men and women, and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear, and that they may learn, and fear the Lord your God and observe to do all the words of this law, and that their children, which have not known anything, may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as ye live in the land whither you go over the Jordan to possess it. What a promise. Your children, which have not known anything, can hear and learn. Let's pray for that miracle. Let's claim that verse. We've got to pray Bible verses in our prayer lives. Let's just say, Lord, there's going to be some children here that don't know anything. There was a child at Backyard Bible Clubs last Friday. I was talking to him. First time he'd ever been in any kind of a, should we call it a church function? Never been to church in his life. He was listening. Amen. I don't know what happened in his heart, but praise God for him coming. And there was a day when you didn't know anything either. And there was a day I didn't know anything. But boy, how our faith has grown exceedingly because of that right there. The power of the word. Amen. Let's pray for Kevin Walker and his son and the ladies and those giving out the word to Goddards. Pray God would use them. Pray there'd be a stillness and no distractions over the crowd. And pray the Holy Ghost would work. Because there's going to become some coming in. Like, remember Zacchaeus? And remember Bartimaeus on that road to Jericho? Jesus passed by once. He passed by once. And then he was crucified about a week later. They had one chance. He never went to Jericho, Jesus, but once. And on that road, he met Bartimaeus, and he got saved. And then he met Zacchaeus down the road, a little farther up in a tree. He got saved. He was the last convert until that thief on the cross about a week later. Sometimes Jesus only passes by once. You know, we hope they're going to come back, right, for junior church and join our Sunday school, and they don't. They come by once. And next week's it for them. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, there's going to be some kids probably here, only chance they'll ever have in their life to hear the gospel clearly. Let's be in prayer, fasting. Do your best at your assignments and pray the devil away. And pray for just some peace and quiet in their hearts and understanding in their hearts so they can be converted. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, for saving us. But we thank you that we've been able to hear it over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. But many of these will not. Lord, we pray, oh God, that you would help these children that come next week and the teenagers. Lord, they're just more open to you at that age than when they get into their 30s and 50s and 70s. And so, Lord, we pray for souls to be genuinely saved, born again of the Spirit of God at Vacation Bible School. Help us in preparation not to overlook anything, but most of all, O Holy Ghost, descend upon these efforts we make at our church and all across the nation. As these things are going on, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Let's close by singing 7:10. Jesus loves the little children. 7:10. When you find that, let's stand together. 7:10. Jesus calls the children dear, come to me and never fear, for I love the little children of the world. I will take you by the hand, lead you to the better land, for I love the little children of the world. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Jesus is the shepherd true, and he'll always stand by you, for he loves the little children of the world. He's a savior great and strong, and he'll shield you from the wrong, for he loves the little children of the world. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. I am coming, Lord, to thee, and thy soldier I will be, for he loves the little children of the world. And his cross I'll always bear, and for him I'll do and dare, for he loves the little children of the world. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. All right, amen. I probably won't.